How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I am a fangirl.
Media literacy, how about that?
Because he could get shin splints stomping around like that.
What do I look like getting queerbaited by Marvel in the year 2023?
The revival of the fangirl.
Fangirl Central. Fangirl Central. Hey. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies.
Are you good? Hey, everybody. It's been a while since we have been on the mic.
Hey. So welcome back to Fangirl Central.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Amber.
We're sisters. And being a fangirl is central to our identity. Haha, get it?
You do hear that?
We are here to give you a new episode. You know from the title what it's about, but we're going to get into some updates first because there's like a lot of stuff that's been going on. Like, I feel like we need to catch up.
Yeah, here and there.
Together, like, you know, here and there, there's been some things that are going on.
All over the place.
I'm going to plug our Patreon one more time, just up top. We do have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/fangirlcentral. And we have extras and uncut episodes and things like that nature.
We even have a vlog up and some behind the scenes footage.
Yeah, there's a secret vlog up there from when Amber met Tom Holland in 2017.
Oh my God, Amanda. That's not what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I was just manifesting that I was going to edit this vlog. While we were setting up today, I was filming a vlog of some sorts because, y'all, I'm going to be honest, I'm really tired. And so I said, it's time to go into delusion mode. And so I started filming a vlog as if I was a YouTuber of some sorts back in the day.
Oh.
And now I'm all energized to do this podcast. So you know what the illusion can do? It can get you to the next moment.
And I'm going to be manifesting that I'm going to vlog about the Doctor Who 60th anniversary specials because I'm not going to sit here and spoil everything for Amber because she is in the middle of watching Doctor Who. We watched an episode last night.
I fell asleep, but it's because I'm tired.
Yeah.
As I just said.
Today is November 26th. Why did I say it like that?
I don't know. I was
it's November 26th.
And
I said sick. Like I was British or something. What the fuck?
I'm so sorry. We missed
what's up?
The anniversary of 1D Day.
Which was yesterday?
The 23rd.
Oh. That's also Miley Cyrus's birthday, also the literal 60th anniversary of Doctor Who.
That's a lot on that day.
Are you sure that's the day it was?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Miley Cyrus turned 31, Doctor Who turned 60, and
One Direction
turned 10 years old.
Oh my.
That was also the same day that we met 21 Pilots, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
I'm really confused at how, at that moment in time, I was like, I've been with these boys their entire lives, and it had been 3 years.
Yeah, you say that frequently.
It's crazy because I was like, I have this archive photo on my Instagram of me celebrating their 2 year anniversary on July 23rd, 2012.
What's up with the number 23?
I don't know.
July 23rd, 2010, November 23rd, 2013.
And 2020.
And now it's 2023 right now. Much more to say on that, I guess, another time. But I did watch the first Doctor Who 60th anniversary special yesterday. I am wearing Weeping Angel's earrings. Can you even see this? Whatever. I'm showing it to the cameras. If you can see it, whatever. I'll put a picture up on the screen as well if you can't see it. But they're from Baby Honey Designs on Instagram. And they're literally my favorite earrings. I wear them every single day. They're giant Weeping Angels.
I want
and
some
I
new
also
earrings.
Got Sonic Screwdriver earrings.
I want some new earrings.
But anyway, I have not talked to you about this because I was waiting to talk to you about it on the podcast. I watched the Doctor Who special number one yesterday at like 11 a.m. in my bed. And when David Tennant's name came up on the screen during the theme song, I screamed and then burst into tears. Like like I didn't know that it was going to happen. Like I haven't been talking about it for months. Like he had just not been in the cold open and Catherine Tate. Like, but when it said, well, you know this, in the theme song, like it literally just says the doctor's name and then the companion's name and that's it. And right now it's ooh. David Tennant and Catherine Tate. It said David Tennant, Catherine Tate, and the new theme song is so amazing and I love it and I literally screamed and burst in tears. I was like overcome with joy. I was like, I cannot fucking believe that in the year 2023, the current doctor is David Tennant and the current companion is Catherine Tate. I can't. Like, I literally can't. Like, the special was so good. I won't say details because I don't want to give any spoilers to you, but I loved it. And I'll talk about more of my thoughts in a vlog on the Patreon. Like, I will get into depth because there were some things that I love. I just feel, and also the fact that it's Russell T. Davies is the current showrunner who was literally like the showrunner from seasons four to one to four. David Tennant and Russell T. Davies, I think, are like the best combination. That's just my opinion. I will give more opinions on that, but I don't know if I've said this, but Stephen Moffat is my number one enemy. And I would say that to his face.
You said that, yes. But along with Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry is a nasty ass bitch. Like the way that he represents black women in his movies, I just can't even get into it right now. But I did say that also. But
should we keep that in? Is that dangerous?
I put it on my letterbox. I said Tyler Perry's a nasty ass bitch. And
it's
I would say that
there.
To his face. He knows what he did.
He does know what he did.
He knows what he did.
Several times.
Yeah, I'm literally losing it over Doctor Who. Like, I have this little bitty Doctor Who here. I was wearing my 14th Doctor shirt while I was watching it. David Tennant's back there just chilling out. Like,
I love it. I love the revival of the fangirl. The revival of the fangirl.
I just, like, I can't even, like, say enough how much I cannot believe that we get Russell T. Davies back, David Tennant back, and Catherine Tate back. Arguably, season four is the best season of New Who, I think. I think season five is a really good season, but I have problems with the way Amy is characterized and the way women are characterized in general during Stephen Moffat's run. So I have to say that season four is probably the best. So and Rose, I love you, girl, you know, but like season four, I think just kills it.
So they're calling it New Who.
It is New Who.
They're calling it that, though?
That's what it is. The revival series that came out in 2005, that's New Who. It's New Who versus Classic Who.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to hear me talk about Doctor Who with spoilers, then just, you know, go to Patreon.
The other day, I was on TikTok, and Justin Bieber and these stomping videos, I don't know if anyone has seen them, kept coming up one after another to different music. And I still don't know what song he's stomping to.
Somebody told me what it was, but first of all, number one, forgot the song. And number two, I commented on the Fangirl Central account, what song is even playing in the background? And someone was like, Bet On It, Troy Bolton. And I was like
no,
obviously
no.
I know what Bet On It is.
Like what is he performing
like,
on stage?
What is the song that he is singing? Like, what is the Justin Bieber song?
I need to know, actually.
I think it's Anyone. That might not be...
Okay.
That might not sound right. Does
well,
that sound right?
I can't remember how... I'm hearing Demi Lovato's Anyone.
Me too. That's
and
why
so
I said,
I can't
is that
hear
right?
His other one. But is that what it's called? Anyone? He has an Anyone too?
I don't know.
Or is it the one where the baby is in his video?
That doesn't sound right. It's... You are the only one I'll ever love.
Oh. Oh, you.
You're the only good I've ever done.
How was it called?
Yeah, if it's not you,
it's not anyone. Oh, okay.
It's called Anyone.
Okay.
Like, that's apparently what he was stomping to.
Well, I want him to be careful because he can get shin splints stomping around like that. Like, he is stomping really hard and then like jumping and turning around. I'm like, why are you, what is this new movement?
I can't lie. I've watched a lot of videos of him stomping to different videos. It makes me want to do the dance with him. Like, it does. Like, I don't know what that move is. It's so ridiculous, but it does bring me to try to get up and dance.
I tried to do the swinging thing just to imitate him, and I'm like, what is he doing with his arms?
He's just like emphatically like being like, I'm turning. I just want to do it. It just looks really smooth, and it's just like, what is he doing?
I don't know who it reminds me of, but it just feels familiar to me. I'm just like, you are being a goof.
He is a goof. Since when is he touring? Like, I didn't know that he was touring. Like, I was like, oh, Justin Bieber's retired.
Those can't be recent.
I'm pretty sure they are.
What's he up to?
Because he's doing it in many different, like, it's new.
I have
like it's a new thing that people
idea what he's up to.
I don't know
what he's doing, but I hope he's okay. I love him.
We just like the stomping. Well, I'll talk about it for myself. I like the stomping.
I like the stomping too. Like, I was sitting on my phone dying
laughing.
I thought
it was hilarious. Like, I've never seen anything funnier.
I couldn't stop laughing, but like, I'm sure if I was at a concert now after seeing them all this frequently and I saw him live performing and he started going to that stomp, I'm sure I would shriek.
I would start stomping with him. Like, I would literally start stomping with him.
Justin!
You can't tell me that people are like, Justin Bieber went in 2012 and it's him like doing very complex dance moves, and then it's like Justin Bieber in 2023 and he's doing that, and I'm like, okay,
let him live.
Let him live.
This is how he wants to dance now.
That's how he wants to
do it. He is feeling the music. Oh god, I hope he's okay.
It's giving I don't give a fuck. Like, the stomping is giving I don't give a fuck. I literally can't.
That's one of those things. He's one of those people where I found out what I knew about him, like, that are just fact, like his middle name, the time he was born, and his birthday. Like, random things that I will just always know about him, even if I don't keep tabs on him. Like, I don't know what he's up to now, but I know.
You know,
Justin Drew Bieber.
That's like fangirl leftovers. It's like, yeah, I have all these random facts about Sebastian Stan in my mind, but do I need them? No. Do I act on them? No.
I got them.
Continue to learn more? No.
No. Yeah, do I continue to learn more? No. But I know what I know.
But I know what I know.
And we both know what we know.
I kind of wanted to talk about Jim from Our Flag Means Death. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't talk about anybody other than Edward very much when we were talking about Our Flag Means Death, but that's because Edward's my favorite character.
Before you get into Jim, I stumbled across Taika Waititi at the Grove. When he was walking out of his premiere, I stumbled across him.
He was having the Next Goal Wins premiere at the Grove of all fucking places.
Yes, and I was working at the Grove every day that week for an event that my job was throwing. And I stumbled across him quite literally as he was walking out of the theater.
No, literally. Like, Amber was there. She works in talent and events. And so, like, she literally was there on official business. Like,
official business. Being professional. This is what a professional fangirl is. It's a woman who is trying to handle her own shit, and Taika Waititi walks out of the AMC at the same time. Like, she's walking to her car.
Amber texted me, I'm looking at Taika. And I was like, what are you fucking talking about?
I was like, everyone, shut up. Everyone, shut up.
I saw him at the Black Panther premiere in 2016. When did Black Panther come out? Was it 2018? I'm always like, was it 2016 or 18? Like, I literally can't remember. Right, because Civil War came out in 2016. Mm-hmm. I saw him at the Black Panther premiere, and I feel like it's like so weird that you saw him at a different premiere and it was his premiere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The two times that both of us have seen him separately were at premiere. Mm-hmm. Like,
and what color suit was he wearing at yours?
Blue.
Mine was maroon.
Yeah, he looked really good. I remember being startled about how much better he looks in person, because I already think that he's hot.
He was smiling and standing real tall, and I was like, I gotta go.
I was glad, because I was gonna go. Remember, I was like, oh, I'll come to that event. It was in my calendar.
Oh, but that wasn't even the night.
I thought it was on Wednesday.
No, it was on the Tuesday. I was there, like, prep for the event. Like, I was there just late night trying to prep for the event, like, making gift bags and things. And then by the time we wrapped up, my coworkers were like, maybe we, like, because we were like, there's no way that this premiere is happening tonight. And they were like, let's just take the long way to the garage. We did. And right when we were walking up, he was there.
just hugging and kissing people outside.
Yeah, and then Rita Ora was there. And I was like, respectfully,
all right. That is so fucking random.
Yes, it was. We also saw a member of Five Seconds of Summer at a bar recently, and it was the most random situation of our lives.
List of random occurrences. Like, we've literally never, ever in our lives tried to meet Five Seconds of Summer, and I just think that's ironic.
We never, ever have.
Because we've met them multiple times on accident, and we die hard tried to meet One Direction, and it just didn't work.
Never, ever happened. And I think, honestly, what I think that is honestly the universe protecting us. Because say we did meet One Direction on one of the attempts, I don't think that would have gone smoothly.
I think it
would have only been a cringy moment to me in my time now. So,
and it would have been super depressing. Like, as soon as they walked away, it would have been like post concert depression. Like, but
times
to
a
the
thousand
nth degree.
Like, it would just be like, come back,
literally,
come like, back.
No, it's actually very good.
No. It's good that we've never seen them. I like to live on a different planet than them. Zac Efron, the Jonas Brothers even.
Yeah,
Justin Bieber. Don't need to see him out.
I mean, these people, they're in my childhood brain, so like they don't exist.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's almost like
they're like animatronics.
Like, because I don't
need to see them off the stage. Thanks.
Oh God, it would be like a Five Nights at Freddy jump scare if I saw
Zac
Efron.
It'd be
out.
Like, sorry.
I'd be like, I thought you only existed in High School Musical.
In the box.
You only exist in the box.
Get back in the box.
Get back in the box.
I'm trying to order coffee. What are you doing here?
That is so correct, because I was so scared whenever like the mascot version of Chuck E. Cheese would be out about on the floor. I'd be like,
wait, he's free range.
Right.
Like,
wait,
he's not
on the stage.
He
can go wherever he wants. And I would immediately start hiding in the little tunnels.
Oh my God. Actually, yes. A man and I used to run from this thing. And there was one time when we hopped in one of those cars and put the quarter in so fast as if it would get us away from him faster. And then he walked down our aisle. And so we were just like in the car and just like.
I have this memory. I remember this memory. Literally, I've been so scared of mascots. Got since the day I was born. Mm. Literally, I had my fourth birthday party at Chick-fil-A. Mm. Chick-fil-A was literally like on every single corner in the South, and you know they don't like gay people, but you know I'm sorry, their chicken is amazing. But I had my fourth birthday party at Chick-fil-A, and I'm gay, so I can say that. And they were singing Happy Birthday to me, and this is on video. The cow comes out, and everyone's like, Mandy, look, it's the cow. Look, it's the cow. And I literally just like stare straight ahead at my food and like silently am eating. I will not look at the cow.
It's like, not there if I don't see it.
Absolutely will not look. It's not there. If I don't look at it or acknowledge it, it's not there. And it's like getting up in my face, waving at me. And I'm just like completely fucking ignoring this cow.
Right.
Like, and they're like, Amanda, like, look at the cow. And until it walked away.
Like, fuck that cow.
I never liked mascots.
You were three?
I was my fourth birthday.
So I was around.
Yeah, you were two, but you know, you weren't.
I wonder what I was doing.
Just, like, running around. Like, you're probably like looking at the cow.
I wonder what I was doing.
I don't know, but it was a jump scare to me that you met Tyka.
Oh! Or you sorry, I forgot that you were going to. I didn't know you were going to pull the conversation back
you
over there.
You didn't meet him, but you did. You like waved at him and he did look.
I just mouthed, like, can I have a selfie to him? But like, in hindsight, I probably didn't smell that clearly because he just like stared at me and then turned away because he probably was like, what the fuck?
I don't even know what I would have done if I had been there. I feel like I would have had to be like, congrats on Our Flag Means Death.
I wanted to say something Our Flag Means Death related, but I was just kind of like really tired. I had all of these bags on me from work and I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I don't have the mental capacity to even form a real sentence. That's why I was like.
And it's honestly, it's okay.
It's fine. Whatever. He probably won't remember me.
We'll have the meeting with him when we have it.
Yeah, he ain't gonna remember that.
No, maybe. Goofy. I don't know. You have purple hair.
Well, he'll be like, you're that crazy person at the Grove.
But anyways, talking about Our Flag Means Death, I was rewatching season two. We watched season one through two. And
so all of them.
Yeah, I watched.
I rewatched season one through two. So I rewatched the whole show.
back to back. What I meant was like I rewatched it all, including season one. So I rewatched season two with the framework of season one in mind. Mm-hmm. And I just want to reiterate because I feel like we recorded that episode right after we watched the finale. Ugh. But I want to reiterate that I'm like sick of the fandom. Like just like there's a part of the fandom that's like hating on season two. Because they're like, the pacing is off, and they didn't include enough about these characters, and I can't believe they killed off, and I can't believe, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're just, like, ragging on it, and, like, sending, like, really mean notes to the writers because they, like, don't agree with who died and stuff. But when I rewatched season one, and yes, they did have budget cuts. They cut the budget by 40% the second season. So, like, they had fewer episodes, they had two fewer episodes, and, like, the budget was cut just... And like you can kind of tell like the
C'est la vie though,
but they made such a good season with those
that's
budget
life.
Cuts, and I just want to reiterate like fandom can get so toxic with like I don't know just like berating the writers. It's like would you rather it be Sherlock where they just fucking made fun of the fandom for even like liking slash fanfic and like shipping the two guys making fun of queer people in the show itself? Like I don't know.
Is that really how it is?
That's literally how it is. Like,
oh God.
Literally, like, the...
I've never watched, like...
Stephen Moffat.
Like, one episode.
Stephen Moffat created Sherlock also.
Oh.
He's my enemy number one.
Your eyes got really, like, serious
and
then.
I'm so serious.
You said Stephen Moffat.
I said Stephen Moffat created Sherlock.
Oh, my God.
And Menace.
Menace!
like, literally. Like, so would you rather be sorry, Loki... where they're still queer baiting. I saw a tweet the other day that was like, ain't no way I'm gonna get queer baited by Marvel. Like, how are
not
you,
again.
What do I look like getting queer baited by Marvel in the
again.
Year 2023?
Right. Never again.
I'm not watching Loki. I'm sorry. I watched the first season and I really enjoyed it because it reminded me of Doctor Who, but I am not watching it.
I have to confess that me saying never again was really just like as a listener because I never was queer baited by Marvel. I wasn't really into those ships when watching Marvel. Mm-hmm. I was there for Spider-Man and the hope that Spider-Man was coming soon.
The big one for me is Stephen Bucky. Like, I don't
I remember
ship
watching
anybody else. I mean, I did read a lot of Spider-Man Deadpool, but, like, that wasn't a thing in the movies, so it's not like I was...
Right.
I mean, I guess they did kind of queer bait us in the comics, but that's a whole other story.
That's a different story. But I remember watching Stephen Bucky and knowing how you were... shipping them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I see it. But I was never going into those viewings with that. I was like, when are they going to fix the partnership so that we can
have Spider-Man
do
in
something?
Here. When can Spider-Man get in?
And
here?
I remember when I first heard, sorry to like go over here, but like, I remember when they first announced, Spider-Man and Sony like being able to work something out. I was like, what?
I remember you were like, no.
I was
like,
I feel this
like you
is
were,
a lie.
I think, yes, you were in denial. Like, I remember we were...
Fully.
When we talked about it, you were like, but no.
I was like, no.
It's like,
no.
But that doesn't mean that Spider... You were like, that doesn't mean that Spider-Man will be in the Avengers, though. And I said, yes.
You were like, this is what it means.
That's what it means.
And I was like...
That's exactly what it means.
And I was like, no. And then I saw it, and I was like, well, where did we find this one?
I think he's the best part of Civil War. I think he and Black Panther are the best parts of Civil War.
Definitely. 100%. That's the whole point of the movie, is to introduce those two. Like, I was like, where do we find him? And where do we find him? And we're getting full movies of both of them soon.
Yeah, that was the that was
that's when I zoomed
that
on
was
it.
Marvel's,
that's when I zoomed on it.
That was Marvel's last win, and they have not won since. And I'll stand on that.
I agree.
I will even say that while I was watching Winter Soldier, I wasn't even like begging Marvel to give in to making Stephen Bucky canon. I was just kind of like using it as like
material for fan fiction. Yes.
Like literally material for like backstory for the fan fictions I was reading.
That's
so,
just how you approach everything back
so
then, actually.
That's literally how I approach everything. And honestly, I prefer the Marvel treatment over the Sherlock treatment because Marvel didn't even address it at all. Like none of the Marvel executives, nobody that worked on it would even like answer questions about it. They never mentioned it. But the BBC Sherlock cast and crew would just make fun of it. And they made fun of it in the show. And interviewers still do this. Like I see clips of like interviewers asking Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson about Lokius, their ship name. And
what is Owen Wilson's name in there?
Mobius? I don't know his don't name. Know. I'm going to call him Owen Wilson.
Okay.
People ship Loki and Owen Wilson together. And whenever they... whenever they...
I'm picturing his character in The Internship in Loki. Or Jedediah.
Or Jedediah. Okay, whenever they ask them, the interviewer is like, so...
So there's people online that they don't want Loki and Sylvie together. Oh. They want Loki and Owen Wilson together. And they have you heard of Lokius?
And Tom Hiddleston's like, oh yeah. You know, I mean, they have a really special relationship. And it's like they're like dancing around it. And I will say Tom Hiddleston's been respectful about it. But the interviewers, I'm like,
yeah,
get these fucking fanboy interviewers out.
Yeah.
Get them fucking miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from me. Especially in the Marvel fandom. Like the Marvel fandom is split between like fuck like literally the fucking worst fanboys of all time, sexist, racist, homophobic, literally fucking stupid. And then the other half is like the gayest people you'll ever meet. And like they like Marvel for completely different reasons. Mm. And like I am like at this point I don't like Marvel because of how good it is. That's why I'm telling you that. Mm-mm. But anyway,
they need to sit down, take a break, really pull back for a second and start thinking about the content they're releasing because they're doing way too much at once. And I am not keeping up. And I don't care that I'm not keeping up.
I think they're slowing down because they're realizing that.
That don't nobody want to keep up no more. Quit. Take a break.
Don't nobody want to keep up no more. And it's bad. And like they've lost the plot.
They've lost the universe. They've lost the plot.
It's
sit
literally
down.
Just like late stage capitalism. The studios are putting so much money into it to put out as much as possible in as little time as possible.
And it's not of quality.
It's quantity over quality. Like the shit looks awful. Like the VFX look terrible. They underpay their VFX people. They underpay all these people. They get like 45 different writers and directors to make every single thing. Do you know that until recently, like literally until recently, the way they were running their television shows was like, let's just shoot it and then figure it out in post. Like, let's just shoot it and then figure out what's wrong with the story in post. They weren't doing like writer's rooms.
Do that, so.
It's like, do you know how to make television? Like, yeah, there's a lot of people
sense.
That
You're
know
have
how
to
make television.
Add some scenes if you figure something. Whatever. Listen,
shit's going down.
That's not our problem.
And that was not my original point.
No.
I think we did need to miss an opportunity to just like fucking slam dunk on Marvel because
no, honestly. Because they're too everywhere. I say this as I have my Spider-Man blanket on here keeping me warm today, everyone.
You know why that's a good point? Is like I still love certain Marvel movies that I grew up with. I still love them, even though they're varying levels of military propaganda.
Whoop!
Have been approved by the American military.
Ooh.
Like, I know that they're military propaganda, all of them, and I hate that about it, and I probably wouldn't blindly love it if I watched it right now.
Right.
But there's certain nostalgic values to those movies and that cast and ensemble that will always hold a special place in my heart, but I'm not going to go, you know, rewatch Winter Soldier 12 times a day anymore.
No, and that's also why it's best to watch the DVDs you have and not the streaming services.
I love Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man as a concept. Like, Spider-Man, I feel like, can be whoever you want Spider-Man to be. And I feel like that's why Spider-Verse did so well and is doing so well. I prefer Spider-Verse as a movie to, like, whatever the fuck Marvel
I will sit
Studios
and cry at Spider-Verse for the rest of my life. I love that movie so much.
But, like, what I was originally saying
we're talking
was,
about Jim. We're
I was,
talking, saying, about
I was
Jim.
Talking about R Flag Means Death. I was like, I'm like kind of sick.
How did we get here?
I'm kind of sick of the R Flag Means Death and Good Omens fandoms on Twitter at least. And that's like, that's attributing to my like fangirl fatigue, which we'll talk more about later. And I also feel like the way I was just like ranting about Marvel, it like attributes to my fandom fatigue. It's like, there's all these toxic things going on that it's hard to remember what I like about it. But anyway,
yes!
I'll say more on
you
that.
You
got to
slap yourself on the wrist for like everything you grew up with now.
Yeah.
Because you're like, your eyes are open. Ignorance is bliss.
It's just like difficult mm-hmm. to navigate fandom space with nuance because nobody does it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wanting our little pocket of listeners and among us ourselves to like create
an analytical look at it.
Emotional too.
Yes. What do you like about it and what do you condemn about it? Because there are things that are wrong with it.
I feel like the outside view of a fangirl is like somebody that loves something no matter what, has no problems with it. It's like either you absolutely adore it and have no critiques or you hate something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not the reality of liking something.
Yeah.
Like, as an adult in the world who understands the world and has their own experiences, that's not really the reality of anything, of how you like anything. So the way that we fangirl is like, I will shout at this concert, I don't know / approve of every single thing this artist does in their life, because they're a human being.
Yeah. That, and also like watching movies, it's like, you can watch the most fantastical thing and apply it to what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And do that.
Like,
and think about it.
I rewatched X-Men First Class, and it was literally the most sexist thing I've ever seen. Like, every single female character got naked at some point. Like, took her clothes off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. Even the CIA.
And that's why it's so ingrained, and, like, that's why we, some of us, like, or, yeah, sometimes we don't notice it all the time, because we did grow up with it.
How that every was movie
the,
was.
That's the norm. Like, we grew up thinking that was correct.
Yeah.
That was normal.
Like, and it was framed in a way of, like, female empowerment. Like, it was like, oh, like, she's so hot, and she knows it, and she's taking her clothes off. Like, she's using her body to get the men.
Her, like treat Trunks.
To trick the men. She's a femme fatale. Like, and we were fed that, and all movies and all action movies were like that. And so it was like nothing different. And also at the same time, Jennifer Lawrence was in The Hunger Games at the same time, which I feel like was a pretty empowering role. Looking back on those movies, they didn't really objectify her in the same way that they did in X-Men First Class. But I feel like since they came out around the same time, I was like, yeah, she's like cool and she's powerful.
Oh, yeah. So
in both.
Blend, yeah.
Like, it was just kind of, and I was like, oh, no, 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 no. They don't treat her character well in this movie at all. And also, it's directed by, like, he has allegations of, like, pedophilia and, like, grooming young men. All these problems. But X-Men First Class was one of my favorite movies in high school. And so I rewatched it with Esty recently, and we were both like, fuck? Like, what? It's super gay.
Really?
It's super gay. Like, and I knew that back then. It's super, super gay. Like, there's a whole subplot of Eddie Gathegi and Lucas Till, like, having a relationship.
Lucas Till is in this?
Exactly. Lucas Till, Zoe Kravitz, Eddie Gathegi, like the son from Get Out, the redheaded son from Get Out, Jennifer Lawrence, Michael Fassbender,
Evan Peters.
No, he's not in that one.
Okay. Hugh Jackman?
He does. He makes a cameo. Hugh Jackman is in every single X-Men movie, at least in a cameo. And we all cheered. It was my first X-Men movie I ever saw, and I had no idea what was going on, except when I saw Wolverine. I said, that's Wolverine. I know that. But
that's funny. That's
anyway,
how I am a lot of the time.
It's just, who did I miss? James McAvoy, the main character. I forgot his name. I always forget his name. Sorry, James.
I just watched him.
Sorry, Mr. Tumnus.
Oh, my God. I just watched him something. I always forget he's that.
But anyway, all of this to say is, like, you can have complex thoughts about media.
Mm-hmm.
Media literacy. How about that?
Right. You know what? And those are the best college classes.
And this is, and welcome to our TED Talk.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Anyway, I just want to touch on Jim from Our Flag Means Death.
Let's get into it.
Because I was rewatching it, and not only do I think that it's a really good arc, season 1 through 2, when I watched season 1, I do think that watching season 1 helped me realize I was non-binary subconsciously, because it always happens this way, you know? It's like, oh, why do I relate to this character? I just really love them. Like, I felt that way about, like, gay characters before I realized I was gay. Mm-hmm. And then with Jim, I was like, ugh. Isn't that just so great that the non-binary people can have representation? Like, such good representation. I love this. And, like, good for the non-binary people.
Right.
And I really am such an ally to non-binary people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, like, slowly, I started realizing that I was,
like,
non-binary.
Too, like,
and I
way
relate
too much, yeah.
way too much. I haven't seen very many, like, AFAB non-binary people in things that have full characters and full arcs.
I don't think I have
arcs.
Once ever.
I can't even recall. Like, I actually can't recall a non-binary character having such a full backstory and full arc that's not just like, oh, they're non-binary and their pronouns are they, them.
Yeah, I don't.
Just so you know.
That's not.
Just so you know.
Right.
Their pronouns are they, them.
That's.
And that's never, it.
That's it. I can't think of anything at all.
And it was so seamless the way that they, like, came out as non-binary. And, like, also, I feel this way about the Doctor Who special. Donna has a trans daughter, and they do it so well, in my opinion. I think I have a little gripe with, like, one moment at the end that does not really have anything to do with her, but, like, her character is really good. She's on what's that gay show?
Our flag means
Heartstopper. She's on Heartstopper. There's the non-binary thing, but then in season two, I know a lot of people hated that they, like, in air quotes, broke up Jim and Oluwande with their different love interests. Mm-hmm. But I feel like from the actor's perspective, because Vika Ortiz is polyamorous, mm-hmm. I feel like from the actor's perspective, they're polyamorous. And we just didn't get enough screen time to see that they were.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was picking up.
Exactly. That's what I was picking up,
too.
And I like the poly representation. I also think it's really cool as also a bisexual person. Mm. Like, as coming into, like, being non-binary and, but also as bisexual, I really like how Jim was with Oluwande and then kissed Archie. And it's like neither of those relationships are binary. The one with Oluwande is not straight. Mm-hmm. And the one with Archie is not lesbian. Mm-hmm. It's just like Jim is a person and they like other people.
Yes.
And it just occurred to me that I had never seen anything like that in my mm-hmm. life on TV before.
I thought that was very interesting, too. When they were having like their all of their like cuddly moments, I was like, well, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because you identify how you identify. What is correct. And you love who you love.
Yeah.
And you nobody can just say this is how you have to present to be able to say that you define yourself as this, as another thing. Like, it's like, well, you actually don't know much.
No.
So you don't know much about what's going on in my head or this person that I like's head. So I don't really know why I feel need to defend you on this.
Right. And nobody...
To defend my identity on this.
And nobody's asking them to. Like, nobody's asking Jim... who they like, nobody even asked anybody, like,
identify on that boat,
on that boat, nobody asked Steed, like,
just be
for all we know, Steed could be bisexual. We don't know who Ed likes, like, we don't know, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, like, there's no reason to, like, force anybody into a box, mm-hmm. and I think that is super cool. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to touch on that before we get into, like,
more stuff,
more and more things.
I agree with that. And I love that.
I don't know. I just love the world of Our Flag Means Death. And I don't know. I hesitate to be like, oh, I want, like, more seasons because I know it's just a 3-season arc. But then it's like spinoff. And then it's like, oh, when is too much? When is enough?
I want to say that watching, sorry, I cut you off, but it's kind of the same conversation, not at all, but I want to say that watching Adventure Time, like, with you last night was very interesting. I haven't, like, watched it in a while, mm-hmm. and I was realizing more of the Perry aspect than I feel like I did the first time I watched it. Like, I was kind of like, this is funny. Oh, I get it.
Perry?
Parody.
Oh.
But, like, when the jokes were happening, or, like, when certain lines were said, I was catching them more than when I've been rewatching them.
Yeah.
And it was really funny.
That show is straight up satire.
Yeah, now I really gotta just, like, fully rewatch it again.
It does remind me of a more wholesome Invader Zim.
And I gotta watch Invader Zim.
When we started watching, Amber was like, just so you know, this show is really weird. And then she was like, and then I remember that you watched Invader Zim, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, the opening scene of, like, the first episode is the juice coming out of the dead candy people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, oh no, I wonder if Amanda's gonna make me turn this off. And then I, like, while I was having that thought, I was like, her favorite show is Invader Zim.
As soon as I saw that, like, that image itself, I was like, oh, I'm gonna like this show.
Like, that's crazy.
Like, I was like, oh, I like it.
Because I don't know. Like, that's crazy to me because you grew up liking Invader Zim, but I always thought that you were opposed to things like that, even as you were an Invader Zim fan, because I never really, like, watched it with that perspective. But now I'm like, I'm understanding your taste more.
I do, yeah. I feel like it's, like, the fine line between, like, too gross, mm-hmm. just for, like, shock value.
And I don't even like that.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like shock value. I don't like anything for shock value. Like,
no.
Nudity for shock value.
Like, have a point.
Like, violence for shock value. Like, and everything needs to just to have a story use, you know?
Yes.
Like, I don't want to be shocked. Mm-hmm. I want to be delighted. Mm-hmm. I love being surprised and I love being delighted, but, like, I don't need to be, like, just shocked with, like, the worst thing in the world. Mm-mm. I don't like when it's, what is it, like, excessive.
Yeah. Just, like I'm just doing it just because you got carried away and you're having fun with it.
I don't like gross out humor.
No.
Like, I don't like when you're trying to gross me out because I will get grossed out. I have a squeamish mm-mm. tendency.
Yeah.
But I do like weird, bizarre imagery.
And that's all you got in Adventure Time.
That I can't look away from.
Adventure Time is crazy.
Why I like Tim Burton, why I like Invader Zim. I love Adventure Time. And I think you should, because you like Adventure Time, I think you should watch Over the Garden Wall, okay, which Elijah Wood is the main character, and he plays a 12-year-old with a little brother, and they get lost in the woods on Halloween night. And it's like, literally, it's,
will I cry?
It's so, you will. Oh. It's so Adventure Time coded. And also, like, the brother relationship, I think you will cry. They remind me a lot of us. Amber.
Okay, well, sure, I'll watch it. I do.
There's a little bird. Like,
my little bird.
There's, like, all these really, really, like, fantastical, like, Halloween-y stuff. But you could watch it over the holidays.
That's cute. Okay, maybe we will. I want to talk about this quickly. Mm-hmm. Just for, the, you know, because this is a catch-up episode, y'all. I guess this will be, like, a month late. But we're recording this in November, as you know. And yep, we watched Love Island Games.
Yep.
Because Love Island Games, the characters are real people. And if we go in on someone, we'll be going in on someone who is real. And that is against our philosophy,
right,
in certain ways. But know that we have very, very deep opinions about all of the things that happened on that show. We, yep, love the show. I personally love the idea of Love Island Games because it brings back all of your favorite Islanders from, like, different years. Like, maybe you haven't seen them in, like, 3 years, and now, yeah, they're acting, like, mature in the villa. It's very, right, interesting. I just, like, I loved it because Love Island... it's one of those reality series that is so much like a social experiment that it's like, this is interesting to watch how people can grow,
yeah,
just genuinely from an empathetic aspect.
Yeah, because of age and also having done it before. Also, mm-hmm, it's like the most multicultural Love Island I've ever seen. At one point, there was a black person in every single couple. Yeah. And like, you cannot say that for
any season ever,
especially the UK. The UK, right, is so, so, so whitewashed. And like, black people come in and they don't get main storylines and they don't get anyone coming into the villa for them genuinely. They always get left for some other white person, or they get someone pretending that they are into them so that they can stay in the villa. I just think that that's fucked up.
It is.
England has a race problem that they are not addressing.
Yes, they do. And who has one? A race problem as well? Australia. Because even though they only have like 5 seasons, they have very little, very little people of color in that show.
And obviously there's racism in America, but like the black people in America, I feel like... Ride for the black people and are more aware,
yeah,
of the racism they might encounter in dating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the ones in the England don't even like want to mention it.
Well, for some reason, sometimes they're just like, I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's something missing. And I'm like, you're black.
Yeah.
You're black.
Like, but I don't know what it is, but no one's come in for me.
It's you're black.
You're black.
But and like, sorry for the harshness, but like, also,
don't act like these white people acting like tall, dark, and handsome,
right,
is black.
Think they're talking about a black man. And also, in America, there are black girls who are also, like, there have been the circumstance where they're like, I don't get it, because their preference is white guy. And they're like, I don't get why it's not working out for me, and it's the same reason.
Mm.
But there are also girls who are like, hinting at, I know why it's not working out for me. I'm noticing it and I know why.
Yeah, like, don't.
And so they just are like, I'm just gonna stay in the villa and have a good time. I'm not gonna give him everything.
The whole conversation asking people what your type is inherently racist, because the white people only say blonde or brunette. They only say blonde or brunette. That's all they say. It's like, I go for blondes, I go for dark hair, mm-hmm, and dark features, and they never mean black people.
Mm-hmm.
I learned this lesson at 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it from middle school when all the white boys I had crushes on, like, did not want to get with me at all, and they pushed me towards the black boys in my grade,
mm-hmm,
that I didn't know and also did not like me because they preferred white girls.
It's a matching game.
Like, it was like, as a black girl in America, like, kind of nobody is writing for you, so like you have to generate it yourself, which is why Black Girl Magic came about, and like why I feel like I am the most confident I've ever been, because I learned that pining after people that were racist was a waste of my time.
Ugh.
And so I'm not even like, my standards are so high, like I don't even
bat an eye.
I don't
it
even
does, it's you don't flinch.
I used to This is an interesting conversation, because this is real, 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 real. Like, I used to desperately want white boys to like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the only thing I cared. It was, like, one of the only things I cared about. It was, like, my value was, like, whether or not white men thought that I was desirable,
mm-hmm,
which is why, in a couple episodes ago, I lost my mind that David Tennant kissed a black woman, because I knew that,
yeah,
me in high school would have been like,
so it's possible
and, yeah, David Tennant, like, it would have made me like him more, mm-hmm, like it would have made me think I had a chance more, and it's not even chance, like, I'm not David Tennant is married. Like, I...
Yeah, it's just, like, it's a just chance like, of the idea that a white guy could like someone that resembles right. you, which is, like, the whole thing of representation.
Right.
But it's so toxic because that is how it is. Like, if you go on Tumblr, there's, like, a hashtag BWWM link where they have all of these TV representations of, like, mixed couples and interracial couples, which is great and beautiful, and yes, everyone can be in a couple. But it became to be a thing for me as well where I was like, I need to be in a couple with a white man to feel value in the right. world.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
That's horrific.
That's fucked up.
That is horrific.
We went to a all girls, all white school in Memphis, Tennessee. I went there for 13 years. Amber went there for 15 years. That's what we were surrounded by. That's what we were seeing. Mm-hmm. And like
that was the norm. That was what we knew to be the norm.
I didn't start like it didn't start shaking for me until 2013 when like Tumblr feminism and like it like intersection. I learned what intersectionality meant. And then like it's been a slow process of the last 10 years of me like breaking out of that thought process mm-hmm. and like getting out of the grip of like pleasing white men that everybody is in, including white men.
Including white men.
The yeah. only thing anyone wants to do
is please
a white man yeah. and be desirable by a white man, including yeah. white men, including straight white men.
Yes.
So it's like,
and I want to say also, on top of it being like I want to be desired by a white man or whatever, there was also like, as a stubborn human being, If I saw that everybody wanted me to go with the only black person because it was the only black person, that had me viscerally reacting like, well, then no.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. That then it just turned into like an anti-black thing for myself.
Right.
Like on top of the internalized racism that I already had because of like the conditions of what I was growing up in, I was also trying to prove everybody wrong that like I had to be with a black person.
Yeah.
Which is just right. another negative point on me.
Exactly. Like because...
And so now I'm like...
It was just all fucked up. It was like internalized racism. Like, I'm ashamed of being black, and I won't even say that to myself. Mm-hmm. And therefore, don't.
And I'm like, if I end up with a man, I feel like he has to be black.
And therefore,
like, I really don't. I can't picture myself with a man if he's not black.
I right now don't even know if I can picture myself with like a cis man.
Right. I don't know what I picture myself with at the moment. But at all.
All I know is that I am attracted to people that are just as, like, expansive about gender as I do. Like, have yes. just as much of an expansive idea of gender as I do. Because mm-hmm. I'm usually attracted to people that, like, are comfortable with masculinity, femininity, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. Which is mostly non-binary people and mostly trans people. Mm-hmm. Because just, like, the complex thought about gender is something that I think is attractive.
Me too. I just feel like I can't be constrained mentally with the spectrum of gender anymore.
Right.
Because it is so damaging. I've already gone inside of myself and found the bubble in which I have been holding myself in, and I can't really be in spaces where I have to go back to that bubble. I have to be talking to people who get it.
I can't be romantically involved with somebody who, like, thinks that there are essential traits to a gender.
Yeah.
Like, gender essentialism. Like, I can't. Because yeah. I don't have time to explain it.
I also... sorry. Okay, this is more about race. One of the earliest memories of feeling othered is when we were all doing self-portraits and everybody in my class had a yellow crayon and I had
mm-hmm.
a brown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, yellow girls everywhere and then me and then yellow, 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 yellow. And yeah. I just remember being like, why... And it goes both ways of feeling like, why do I stand out negative, but also, like, why do I stand out positive? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I've always just stood out a little bit, so I'm like, it's just the norm to me.
Right, like... We are different. Like,
yeah.
The only constant in my life is that I'm different from everybody around mm-hmm. me.
Negative or positive.
Yeah. And right. so it can be, at the same time, jarring and cathartic to be around people that are similar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to shout out Cuties, which is a organization in L.A. They're a Black-owned queer organization in L.A. that throws events and stuff.
Ooh.
And I've gone to a dance night that they threw, and which I loved, but, you know, like, I feel like it's hard to connect with people at, like, the club.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went to a poetry reading, and everybody on the lineup was black, and most of the people on the lineup were, like, non-binary or genderqueer in some way, and I literally, like, was vibrating. Like, I felt, like, my skin vibrating, and, like, I was crying at some poems because of, like, how they were making me feel, but I was also just crying at sometimes with, like, the energy that was going on. Mm-hmm. Like it felt like church. Like, it was, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of black, queer, genderqueer people in the audience, and we were all going, like, mm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, cackling and snapping and crying and just audibly responding, and I was mm-hmm. like, this is so black and queer and genderqueer, and I feel like
crazy.
I want to go.
That I've not felt this level of like true
unification,
community.
Unity.
Like
unification.
Literal unity. Because it's like
UNITY.
The only thing I'm used to is standing out apart from my peers in for some reason. And it's usually to do with my race. Mm-hmm. My gender or my sexuality, and in this space, I was not different in any of those ways, and so it was like I was not used to it, and I was so thankful for it. Mm. So, just shout out Cuties LA on Instagram; they're amazing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get into something. Because we've been talking about fangirl fatigue in a roundabout way the whole episode.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, you know, liking things that are problematic a little bit.
Toxicity in fandom.
Realizing that you have to condemn some things and things that you grew up that you didn't realize.
Some elements of things.
Just elements of things.
It's this phenomenon that we have been undergoing, which is weird because we have this podcast and we literally are sitting here to talk excessively about fandom. However, like Amber touched on it earlier this summer where she was like feeling a little bit jealousy because I was going so insane over Doctor Who and Good Omens and Our Flag Means Death, where she doesn't have like an active fandom to do that.
Yeah.
It's like maybe the lack of fandom joy, but yes, also at the same time kind of like this like apathy. Like I feel like it's apathy for me. Like
I feel
like I'm feeling like I can't like dredge up the emotions that I know I feel or have felt or can feel when I'm watching something or at a concert or watching a trailer. Like right. I know that adrenaline, that fangirl rush, that excitement.
Exactly.
And like, I'm not feeling it all the time.
Yeah, you're listening to the news or you're watching something and you're just kind of like watching it with no energy behind it.
And I said to you, it's hard to feel the full range of your emotions when you're focusing so much on stress, anxiety, and depression.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what it has also been stemming from for me.
I agree.
But that was like just the intro to fangirl fatigue as we understand it.
I was going to talk about the feeling of something that randomly pulls you out of it after like a long spell. I feel like I have been feeling it because there isn't anything current that I'm like need to keep up with or have the passion to keep up with. Maybe I also don't have the energy to do that. Like I had more room for that energy and focus when I was in school because school was structure. And so I was like, I know how to move about this. Whereas like in life, you're like, how do you balance the structure when you're doing it for yourself?
You're balancing everything.
Yeah.
Like, you have to pay the rent. You have to pay your bills.
You have
like,
to feed yourself.
We weren't focusing on
when you're having a bad day.
We were not focusing on bills. Like we had everything was like at a base level, like our basic needs were being met. So like it was just more free. Like there was no stress about like a job, what job you need to get.
And it was like clear it and see if you were staying on track because you were getting to the next grade.
Yeah. And also like we had extracurriculars. So like
I
would feel bad and I would hate going to dance practice. But then after I left dance practice, I felt a lot better.
Right. You were just like, okay,
like, I
had a long
exercise.
Day. Yeah. Like I had proof of concept. I had a long day.
And then I twerked it out and then went home sweating
and
and it was fine.
It was time to get on Tumblr for fangirls.
Yeah. Like, whereas now, stress, anxiety, depression, stress, anxiety, yes. depression.
It was a different story when you're a teenager.
Yes, it's a different story when you're a teenager, even from when you're in college, when you're like, you can skip class if you want. Like, it's just a different story when you are a teenager.
It's like hard to be able to tell that you actually are even passionate about something unless it's right in front of you.
Right. I've been in such a low mood the majority of the year.
Same.
That I can't even like converse with people in the level of enthusiasm with stuff that I even do like, unless you catch me on a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just being honest. Like, I like, if you want to discuss something that you've heard me discuss on here with a passion, but we're out and about, I might be very low energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment I have fangirl fatigue because I'm one, speaking about it so much on here, like, I've used this as my outlet.
Yeah.
So by the time I'm, like, out, that's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm talking about. I have an outlet now, which is kind of what Tumblr was. Even though in high school I was talking about it constantly. It was just a different story in high school.
Yeah.
It was something that I was so passionate about. But, like, I can't fake fangirling. So if I'm not in the mood or I'm really, like, not here, it's not going to come out. And if it does, that's just because you've hit a chord.
Most of my fangirling is either one for work, literally now,
yeah.
like as Fangirl Central, like running this company to mm-hmm. like produce the podcast, post on social media, like
keep up with content
and have an opinion about it. So it's either for work directly, like my passion project that I work for myself for, but still work,
mm-hmm.
or completely online, like completely right. anonymously online on Twitter and Tumblr. And I can sit there and read tweets about Doctor Who. I almost said One Direction. I'm not reading tweets about One Direction.
And neither am I.
Good Omens or Our Flag Means Death. I can read tweets about them or be on Tumblr for like an hour or two straight. And it feels like I'm engaging in fandom discourse, but I'm not at all. Like, I'm just reading it. And so that also drains me. So
yeah.
it's like either completely publicly fangirling for work or completely privately fangirling
mm-hmm.
to like juice up, like to feel
right.
like I'm engaging and like I'm part of the fandom, but I'm really not. And like, it's not, neither of them are a stand-in for like in-person community,
mm-hmm.
like in-person at a concert or in-person at Comic-Con, like when we went to the Our Flag Means Death like meetup on that boat, or like just among the thralls of people in the convention center. Like, it's not a substitute, and
mm-hmm.
and like I'm lacking in-person fandom, and so mm-hmm. I'm feeling this fatigue.
Yeah,
like,
right. I feel like this is the first time I'm analyzing it, but this is definitely not the first time that it's happened. And so
yeah.
for this next part of the show, I do want to go through some significant moments that snapped me out of my fangirl fatigue without me even knowing it was coming
yeah.
because insert whatever I'm obsessed with here.
Yeah.
Drop something while being on hiatus or wherever they were for a really long time.
Like, out of the blue.
Yes. Okay, so I know we haven't talked about Five Seconds of Summer and, like, our time without keeping up with them for a while, but it lined up at a time where they also weren't releasing new things. I think they were just, like, playing shows at festivals.
Exactly. They were, like, just on tour for, like, a year and a half straight.
Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that they were even doing that. I had unfollowed them on Instagram. I was just like, whatever. I was in college doing whatever I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know where it popped up, but their single Want You Back popped up, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, this is a new Five Seconds of Summer song? They've been gone for years. This is, like, 2018. Or maybe it was 2017 when Want You Back came out. I can't remember. But then they released Young Blood, and I was like, good God, this is good. This is pretty good.
Yeah, and then you texted me to listen to it.
And then I said, Amanda, maybe turn your ears back to Five Seconds of Summer.
I remember texting you and being like, Five Sauce has a new song. Have you heard it? And you were like, yeah, actually, it's like pretty good.
It's
like, you should listen to both of the new songs.
Yeah, and then the album came out. I can't remember when, but I just remember that June, it was around June. It
yeah.
might have been May, but it might have been June.
It was the summer for sure.
And I was listening to it on my way to and from my internship, that was like an hour commute. I was only listening to that to and from every single day. And I was like, this is euphoric. I was like, this is great. When I have an album that I can't stop listening to, I could not stop listening to this album. I was just imagining life as friends with these boys. Like, I was feeling like I was in high school again. I was
yeah.
like, this is something to live for.
Yeah.
Just to wake up and hear this music on the way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get through the day and listen to it on the way home. That is life.
Like, I felt
that
the same
way.
That
is living.
I felt the same way because I felt like my childhood was officially over because that's when I graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally graduated college and then they dropped an album.
Mm.
And I was like, oh,
it was
my
good.
Life is good again.
It was
like,
so
I was like,
good.
Oh, 5 Seconds of Summer is
my favorite band again. Like, yeah, it's 2014.
We love Five Seconds of Summer concerts. Like, we would go and we got nosebleeds just to be in the stadium to hear the music because we love their music that much. And so when they dropped this, I was like, oh my God.
The last time we had been to a concert was in like 2015.
Yeah.
I think.
And then they were going on tour with this album that we loved so much. And we were like, oh, we have urgency to go somewhere again. Like
They did a concert on Amber's college campus at SDSU, and I lied to my job and said that I was sick. I drove down to San Diego and went to the concert and spent one night there.
We had the time of our lives. We sang. They sang beautifully. They had an amazing light show. They were in an amphitheater. They sang old songs. They sang songs from our teenagehood. They sang the songs from this album. Like, it was euphoric, and it was just great. Like, that year, because 5 Seconds of Summer came back, I was like, I am a fangirl.
You know what? I actually felt that, too, at the Black Panther premiere, speaking of earlier. Like, and
me
that
too,
was
a little
that,
bit.
That was that year.
Yeah, it was like February 2018.
When I went to the world premiere of Black Panther with the, like, Black Cinema Society on mm-hmm. my campus, that's where I saw Taika. I literally sat in the same section as Taika. Like, he was standing up talking to, like, Ava DuVernay and, like, all the Marvel directors, and, like, it was ridiculous. I remember not caring about Marvel that much since 2015. It was the same amount of distance from that's when One Direction broke up.
Yeah.
That's the last time we went to a Five Sauce concert. That's the last time I cared about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And there was just like this emptiness from like 2015 to 2018 that we've like referred to in the past. I feel like we referred to it in the very first episode of this where it was like, oh, like in college, we like just kind of like distanced from fangirling.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even like put that as part of my identity. I would tell people, you know, funny thing about me is if you were to ask me what my main identity was from ages 11 to 17, it was fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it in the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that like it was just like a 3-year gap, literally like college era. And like
I feel
all these things are coming back into existence. I mean, even Harry like putting out a solo album in 2017 couldn't dredge it up for me.
Yeah.
The way that
that concert,
Five Sauce and like.
Right, I remember that concert where we went to the Harry concert in 2017 live on tour, and it was like, I remember being there and feeling the same amount of depression as I felt at the On the Road Again tour where Zayn was not there and I was just there to try and have a good time.
Really? That's what you felt?
I was feeling like really low. Like, I was feeling so sad. He sang If I Could Fly and also The What Makes Beautiful, his own rendition that year.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, be in the moment, it's Harry, you have decent seats. You know the words, sing the song, feel the moment.
Mm.
After it, when people were like, how was it? I didn't want to like be like, it was the best night of my life as like I wanted to about Take Me Home or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was just kind of like,
I mean, it was fresh.
I went, like I said in the car, I went to my son's recital. That's how I felt. Like, I was like, I was there to support because I know that I know that it would look bad on my One Direction resume if I didn't go to Harry's first tour.
That's crazy.
Which is also privileged.
I had like a pretty good time at that concert. I just didn't like feel.
I was sad.
I remember shaming you. Okay, this isn't lining up for me because to me it seems like you were like crazy about Harry at the time. Because do you remember this? In 2017, when Harry came back, you started going through a intense Harry phase.
I remember like, when it first dropped.
When it first dropped, I mean, I was gone that summer, so I didn't see it. But then when I came back, you were like extra, extra, extra obsessed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I shamed you. I was like, Amber, get it together. Like, you cannot be this obsessed with Harry.
Oh, wait, I do remember that. Yeah, that was when his album dropped.
I was like, you need to chill out.
But the thing is, and I was going to say this a second ago, in 2017, we have to remember that I was obsessed with Tom Holland.
Right.
It was a very different type of obsession where it was a dangerous one.
Which I thought it was for Harry. That's where I was coming from. It was like, you were acting like that with Harry.
Mm-hmm. I was acting like that with Harry in 2019, but I guess in 2017 too. I'll believe that.
I think it was that chunk of time. And I straight up was like, chill out, girl.
Because of my obsession with Tom Holland, I think that it was coming from a too much of a, I'm in LA now, this is a real possibility. That's in like a really delusionally crazy situation.
Yeah.
Which is why everyone, I have scrubbed him from my feed.
Holland, not Harry.
Not Harry. I got so obsessed with the idea that Tom Holland was reachable.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy.
Yeah. I think that I was coming at you for Harry from a space of like fangirl fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I have apathy towards this, so you need to calm down. Like, I was projecting on you.
He did save me. Oh, that is when I started saying Harry is my light and joy. Because
yes.
he came out with Sign of the Times, at the end of freshman year where I was having a struggling time. And he said, just stop your crying is a sign of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And so that concert made me sad because I was like, I still am sad. Yeah, it's a sign of the times, but what's the sign?
That's so okay.
Of what time?
Okay, the sign of the time when I feel like that summer our roles were reversed, like in the way that you were like, I'm sad and jealous that I don't have something to fangirl over right now, like mm-hmm. you do with Our Flag Means Death, Good Omens, and Our Flag and Doctor Who. I felt that summer because you had Spider-Man and Harry. And I was like, well, I don't feel that way about literally anything, and I haven't for years.
That's interesting.
Years being 2 years. But to a child,
so this
a college student, that years is every year is so long.
I think the Harry concert was the end of that rev up for me. And then I had my period of, like, the rest of 2017 and 2018 with nothing until.
Yeah.
That,
and it was
then,
only little blips. Like, blips, Black Panther was Black a Panther blip. Was,
and I want to say, like, Black Panther for me, I don't feel like I approach that from a Marvel fan. I approach that as, like...
A Black person.
As a Black person. I was like, we are going to the theater, and it's going to be filled with Black people, and this is the first superhero... This is the first Black superhero in the mainstream. Like, that was a moment, like... It was also 2018 where I was on my college campus taking African-American studies classes, like feeling the most empowered and the most enlightened that I had ever felt after being like so in the South.
In the sunken place.
In the sunken place. Yeah, it was also around the time that Get Out was coming. Like I was really on the come up.
Get Out
like,
had just come
I
out.
I had all of my like really close Black friends. I was friends with like all the Black people that I grew up with, but my best friends had sleepovers with were white.
Yeah.
And, like, my closest friends were all Black
in college.
Like, these are the people that I feel comfortable with and would tell anything to and everything.
Yeah.
And we all had similar experiences just from being Black girls growing up in the years 1998 to 2017. And we went to this theater. We were doing some call and response. We were having a good time. We were screaming. We were laughing with these people. And it was community. It wasn't fangirl community, but it was community, and I am now realizing that it was fangirl community.
It was fangirl community, and I had a similar experience at the premiere. Like, the section that we were in was, like, up in the, like, balcony. Like, I think it was the El Capitan Theater. I think that's where they do all their premieres, Marvel. And I literally, even though I was going to the premiere, I didn't have any excitement.
Cool, right, yeah. Like, it sounds cool, but like you're just kind of going on autopilot.
I was like, that's so cool.
And that sucks.
Like, I got dressed up and like I was thrilled to see Michael B. Jordan that up close. Like, he is so hot, literally smoking hot. Saw Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace.
Oh, no.
And then like Taika, like all these people. And so I was getting excited, but it was like at that point also, we had met so many celebrities that I was like not that excited again.
Mm-hmm.
Amber. Amber's crying.
Sorry.
Let it out.
That's crazy. That's also crazy. That's not fair at all. Oh no. Okay. Heavens. I really wasn't thinking about it. Okay.
And see, there's these things that can trigger emotions.
Right.
Like
did that came out of nowhere.
It was an exciting night, but I just wasn't feeling excited. But we got there and then the movie started and everyone's responses, like there were mostly Black people in that theater, which I wasn't anticipating.
Yeah.
And everybody was responding. Like everyone was laughing at all the Black jokes. Everyone was
They were just
saying
things,
that, like
it was
people.
Like the night where, like people, like they were lines like colonizer, like that struck all the Black people very viscerally. Now we can go back in it. If it was like in a Hulu series, be like, okay, like upgrade a little bit.
Yeah.
But then that was like one of the first things.
And it was in a Marvel movie. It was a huge. It was a mainstream Marvel studio action movie, and for it to be at the premiere and all the Black people in the audience in the industry cackling at that line, like,
yeah,
and lines like that,
and also feeling the strength of like both sides, like,
yes.
Killmonger, people were like, we see where he goddamn is fucking coming from.
Yes, because when he would make a point, we would all be like,
he said, yeah, what did he say? He said, I'd rather be in the bottom of the ocean with my ancestors,
yeah,
than like this,
yeah,
and that
than
is
in chains
two
fucking real. And that's what I mean. That's what I mean earlier, like that and other, like a lot of other things. But like, I think even like when I was talking about Beyonce with Amber on the last episode, what are white people getting from this? Or what are they hearing? Like, legitimately, are, is this all fantasy to you? Or is this just a song to you? What are, did you hear that?
I don't think people hear it because we have another Hunger Games movie in theaters while all this shit is going on in Palestine and Israel, and people don't understand that
President Snow or whatever Coriolanus.
Just call him Snow. Just call him Snow, because Snow is a fascist.
Snow is a fascist.
And he it's the making of a fascist, but like all those movies and all these movies, like the Empire versus the rebels and like Katniss versus the Capitol, like they can put themselves in those people's places when they're watching a dystopia, but they cannot put themselves in the spaces of the oppressed when it's actually happening, when genocide is actually happening in real life.
I saw a tweet that it said, like, liberals will say that civil war was horrible and that genocide was horrible, but while it's actually happening, they won't say a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Like, it what? They will condemn.
I do not support the idea of while it's happening,
yeah,
it's like.
I saw that tweet. It's, they'll condemn genocide in the past and they'll support civil rights movements in the past, but they will not condemn genocides in the present and they will not support civil rights movements in the present. Because if there's anything about fascist movements, it's that most people will support them while they're happening because there's so much denial that they're happening.
Yes.
In the present.
Yes.
So clearly people will watch Black Panther and not know what's going on. It is just a fantasy to them. Because the Hunger Games is also just a fantasy.
Yeah.
That's not based on real life.
How could it be?
And that was a joke, in case anyone can't tell that. I was being sarcastic.
Right.
But like, yeah, Black Panther did rev me up for the time being. Five Sauce did rev me up for the time being, but I feel like it didn't hold. Like every time, it's like a drug.
Yeah.
Fangirling is like a drug. Like, it actually is, because it releases endorphins when you're
12 hours.
So excited. Like, when you're so excited in the theater, or when you're so excited for the artist to come out, or so excited to watch a trailer. Like, moving on to 2019, like when the Jonas Brothers announced that they were coming back and that they were having a single drop the next day with a music video, my world stopped. Like,
oh my God.
It was as if I had been like floating along a lazy river and someone had just put a tidal wave through me.
Okay, I need to explain this a little bit, because can I just paint a picture? At that point, I was living with six girls and two of them... were also One Direction fans. So three of the six people I was living with were closeted Directioners. And we were like, we have our own apartment. Let's watch One Direction shit and scream about it. And let's listen to the songs whenever we want to. And so the other three were just kind of like, those girls are different than the first 2 years we met them. They're talking about these boys a little bit more than the first 2 years I met them. And it was like, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I remember I kept on saying to like this one roommate in particular, I was like, you don't understand. Like, if you knew me back then, this is nothing. Me listening to them and singing every riff is actually nothing. And I was also the same for the Jonas Brothers when I was 10.
Right. Just so you can know.
Just for a backstory. Like, if you want to get to know me after since we're living together now, like, this is
by
just,
the way.
I used to be crazy. I used to be a crazy fangirl. And
I would mention that too in my college. Just like,
right,
sprinkle
just very
it.
Lightly.
Just sprinkle.
Just very
anybody
lightly.
Anybody mention, what's the oldest Jonas Brothers name? Joe? Kevin?
It's Kevin.
It's Kevin and then Joe and then Nick.
Yeah. And like, we know their birthdays and their middle names.
Oh, yeah. And actually, Joe's birthday is August 15th.
And Kevin's first name is Paul.
And he's a junior, just so you know.
Yeah.
And there's a fourth one. There's four. There's Frankie.
He went to Belmont University.
And we would just sprinkle.
Just like, I know things.
Just, I know this, and you don't know that I know.
And so I remember when, I feel like she was the one who was like, or no, she couldn't have been the one. I probably saw it, and then she was like, did you see that they reactivated their Instagram? Like, annoying like that.
Oh, my God.
And so I was like, yeah, I did, but that it couldn't possibly mean anything, you know? Because they were brothers, and they broke up because they were having a family feud. So it just couldn't possibly mean anything.
No.
And
don't
look at me like a zoo animal about how I'm about to react to this. And then they dropped a photo. And then I was like, everybody be quiet for a second because we don't know the conditions and we don't know what's about to happen.
Don't listen to the fake news.
This could just be...
We don't know.
We don't know. It could be hacked. We don't know. And then they dropped Sucker and I was like...
The music video and the song on the same day.
It's 2019 and the Jonas Brothers are back. The Jonas Brothers are back and it's 2019 and they left us in 2012, kind of 2013, not sure the exact date. But that... It's insane. And
it
I was like,
red alert.
It was actually red alert. Mother and Amanda and I in the group chat, we were like, red alert, red alert. The Jonas Brothers are back, red alert. Do you see that the Jonas Brothers are back? And what does this mean? The Jonas Brothers are back.
My head was light.
The timeline has light. Shifted.
Like, I found out that the Jonas Brothers were getting back together, listened to Sucker and watched the music video, and saw them perform Sucker for the first time live on James Corden all in the same week.
All in the same week.
In the same week. Amber got us tickets to James Corden to see the Jonas Brothers on James Corden.
I just
live
applied
taping.
Just to see if it would work. They're free. And I was like, maybe we'll get them. I got 4 tickets for me, Tiana, Capri, and Amanda. And we said, we're going.
It was the closest we'd ever been to the Jonas Brothers. We had not seen them.
We skipped class. We skipped work. We skipped everything.
I was supposed to start a job the day that that happened. And I lied and said, I didn't know I was supposed to start today. Can I start tomorrow?
And that's fair because this is the Jonas Brothers and they have not been back since we were children and we didn't know how to act.
I'm not gonna
and
miss
so what
that.
You're going to get is us not knowing how to fucking act. We're about to release all responsibilities and go see the Jonas Brothers perform their first single in years live 3 times in a row right in front of our faces. And you know what? I touched all of them on the shoulder.
All of them on the shoulder as they exited, have never been that close to them in our lives.
They were
like, we hadn't seen them in person or in concert in 10 years.
In 10 years.
It had
years.
Been since 2009.
Yes, the Lions, so Vines, and Trying Times tour.
They were fucking 10 years younger. And I was having flashes of them as teenagers while watching them perform. Like, I was like, that cannot be Joe, Nick, and Kevin Jonas
that
in
can't
front
be
of
Joe.
My...
You have to understand that Joe Jonas was betrothed to me at age 10 with his dark eyebrows, his dark eyelashes, his hair, his dark leather jacket. And now he's in front of me as a grown adult and I, a college student.
And then, like, 2 weeks later, tickets for them coming to the Hollywood Bowl went on sale. And
we got them.
We got them.
And we got them and we went to this concert and they performed a medley of all of their old songs.
And all that stuff, like the songs dropping, the albums dropping, all their fucking documentary dropping, all of this. It was still a low level of fangirling for me. It was like it was waking up like a beast.
Yeah.
It was like the beast was revving. Like, it was like the dragon, if it had been sleeping for the last 5 or so years, now it was like kind of like getting out of REM sleep. Can I hear something? And then the concert happened. It was awake. The beast was awake. Like my fangirl
screaming
beast.
Screaming till you had a headache.
My fangirl beast has been awake since 2019 because the Jonas Brothers came back.
I have to agree. Like the concert, the documentary, the healing that documentary brought of them being like, yeah, we had familial problems.
When
it was Nick's fault.
It was Nick's
and
fault.
And we always knew.
We always knew.
Nick is conceited and it's fine. We are back together and we're going to handle him and his problems. We are brothers.
And we went to that concert with them unified and looking hot as ever, singing the songs that we had grown up with, had not seen them for 10 years. And then they came to the stage close to us. And that's when I literally, I'm not kidding, like it wasn't a hallucination. I saw them as teenagers singing Love Bug. I saw them as teenagers singing Love Bug.
And then they brought out Big Rob. And we were with our mother. We haven't been to a concert with our mother since the Jonas Brothers.
Since the Jonas Brothers, probably. And now we've seen the Jonas Brothers since they've gotten back 3 times, and she's been with us every time. Now, I'm glad we're having this conversation because I have been like, what the fuck is going on with me with my fangirl fatigue? Like, I literally can't dredge up the emotion to fangirl. Like, I can't even, like...
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
Talk about... like Doctor Who in a really excited manner unless like I've just watched the episode. Like when I was watching the episode and I spontaneously burst into tears, I was like, I felt so joyful. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's affecting me like this. And like, I can't believe how happy I am to see David Tennant
running around as a doctor. I'm like, that's David Tennant. God. He's like almost 50 years old and he's running around as a doctor. I was like,
I'm my age and he's his age and we've grown and he's doing it again.
David Tennant is the doctor.
Real life deja vu, like fangirl deja vu.
Like that is that. Like that's the current doctor. Like that's the current doctor.
Yeah.
The current doctor is David Tennant. And the current companion is Catherine Tate.
It really,
because of having this conversation, now it's like it's all sinking in with me. It's like
it's I have come I, back.
These emotions
it's revived.
These emotions are not accessible to me in my day to day because Amber said that she's been very low this year. This has been I've been the most depressed I've ever been this year. Like it's been a very tough year. And I can't believe we launched a podcast this
Neither
year.
Neither can I. I don't know what we've been doing.
And what we've been doing. But, like, it's been a struggle bus. And the only thing getting us through is things like the Avatar The Last Airbender trailer dropping.
That shit, I was like, wait, this might be the thing that revives me. But before we get into that, I'd want to talk about how ironic it is that the Jonas Brothers, this is the first day that we brought this to the studio. And I feel like also having them right there.
They look so scary.
As themselves. They do look scary.
There's a Jonas Brothers blanket behind me, and it really looks scary.
Everyone, oh, yeah. I was like, everyone can see it. We've got it in frame, but
this is a podcast.
This is a podcast. What I want to say is Joe is staring at me through his glasses and his stupid half smile, and thank you for being here, Joe.
It is ironic. You can watch the video. We posted a video of us reacting to the Avatar The Last Airbender trailer, and we just burst into tears. Like, I burst into tears as soon as the music started. And seeing Aang, like, because Aang's not the first thing you see in the trailer, but seeing Aang, and then the music starts, and it's the same music.
I'm sorry, seeing Momo.
And then, yeah.
Seeing Momo. Seeing Omashu.
Appa. Like, but it all
seeing
of that
how accurate it looks, the music.
And how colorful it is, too, because you know they'd be doing, Marvel is guilty of it.
They wash it out.
That Cowboy
Little
Bebop,
Mermaid.
The Cowboy Little Mermaid, drab. The Cowboy Bebop adaptation,
Into
drab.
The Woods. Put Why are you color. So dark? Put we some, can't see.
The source material is very colorful. So if they had made Avatar like the movie adaptation, because the movie adaptation of The Last Airbender is drab as fuck. There's so much wrong with it. But the colors, I'm like, fire, there's color in there. There's color in the fire. There's color in the water. There's color in the earth. Like, give me some color.
Give us some
and
color.
You don't know what that trailer did? Color. Come to February 22nd, 2024. I'm sad.
That is something you may be able to look forward to. I think that'll be one of the first times that you hear Amanda and I watching a revival of a mutual fandom live. Like, we will be doing recaps on that. That is something that we are both equally obsessed with. Yes, we did a recap of Our Flags Means Death, but I watched that because I knew we needed to. Happy I did, obviously. But this is the first time that we have this mutual fandom that we both grew up with, and it has a visceral reaction from both of us.
And it's current. Like, it's something that's happening currently.
So that should be exciting.
I want to do a rewatch of the series and then do an Avatar
episode. Is that what we should focus on in January?
We should rewatch. I mean, it would only take us 3 days.
Exactly.
But we should rewatch the series and then do an Avatar episode, or we could break it up if we have too much to say, leading up to the release.
Yeah.
Like, I think we should release it before the release and then be like, and then now we're doing the live action.
Yeah. Episodes. And now that. Yeah.
So this is a teaser for all of you. We're going to be talking about Avatar finally. Yeah. I wanted to do a live Avatar variety show, but one, we were burnt out, and two, like, I couldn't come up with a concept for it. But that's
I think we could definitely come up with a concept for it now when we're not burnt out.
When we're like thinking about fandoms, for me, The first that I think of, top fandoms that I think of, are One Direction, Disney Channel, Twilight, and Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just such cultural phenomenons that we
will be creating space in our heads to dedicate ourselves to making live events and shows again. Because that is something we like to do. We've just been very tired and on our last leg.
And don't have the money to produce the types of events that we would like to.
Right. But please subscribe to the Patreon and donate if you love us.
It's easier for me, like, just spontaneously picking up a camera and like talking my thoughts about whatever I'm watching in the moment. It's easier for me to do that rather than like get on this mic and then like have to performatively fangirl. Like,
exactly. There is another moment of revival that I wanted to discuss.
What
we already
that?
Discussed Harry, but it's Harry again. It's Harry in 2019, also after the Jonas Brothers, because while the Jonas Brothers revived one thing, you know, you can always have more help from Harry Styles.
Yeah. Well, I feel like because you were revived, it fueled.
I feel like, because it's hard for me to remember now, but like, I feel like what happened
was the Jonas Brothers came back, and then Harry came back.
Mm-hmm. He came out with another second album.
If I'm not mistaken, Justin Bieber came back with an album that I actually listened to, because I didn't listen to all of Justin's albums. My favorites are the first two.
Yeah. But Fine Line had, like, just come
so
out.
So what happened was Harry was silent, hadn't thought about him once all 2 years since the Live on Tour. I was like, okay, we're done with that. He went silent. I was like, whatever. We don't know where he is. And then suddenly it was like, Harry has a new music video out. And I was like, The people around me don't know what's about to happen. Because even when I did have my revival of Harry with his self-titled, it was through the summer. So I still wasn't talking to friends.
Yeah.
So then when he came out with Lights Up, it was in October. And I was like, I've been hit by a drop, and you guys don't know what happens when One Direction surprises me.
And it was the same month of the Jonas Brothers concert.
I was only living with Emma, so I was like kind of self-isolated, where I was like able to scream and lose my mind in my living room. And so that's what I did. And then I was like, you know what? He's here to get me through senior year. And that's what he did. And then he said, I have a Fine Line listening party, which was just a concert where he sang every song front and back from that album. And I was like, Amanda, we have to go. But oh no, I have a final.
It was one night only.
One night only. Oh no, I have a final on that day. And then I said to my professor, I said, and it was like an oral presentation, so you had to be there. And I was like, listen, I'm going to have to go home early. Is there any way we can work something out? He's like, because you have to go home, and I want to honor that, I will work it with you. If I didn't say I had to go home, he would have been like, no, show up. So I said, I have to go home. I wasn't lying. I went home the very next day, one. And two, I did fucking go home, because I went the goddamn home. I was in that stadium, and what the sadness I felt at Live on Tour in 2017, I didn't feel an ounce of it in 2019 at the Fine Line listening party for one night only, because I was there, I saw him in his white pants and his pink shirt, and I was listening so hard to the music that he created and dropped for us. I listened to She, which was beautiful. I listened to Golden. That's what he opened up with. And then he brought Stevie Nicks out on stage and sang a Christmas song. And then I went home to Memphis the very next day, and it was all something that was very euphoric. It was something that I very much needed. I needed to go home, and I did.
Yeah.
And Harry brought me there.
And you were like, I don't know, I have a final. And I said, I remember, because you hesitated a little bit, and I was like, who gives a fuck?
I'm getting the tickets. That's what you said.
I said, I'm getting the tickets.
And then you got the tickets while I was in an exam, a completely different class, but you got the tickets when they were on sale. I was in an exam, and you said, I got them.
Two things we're serious about: concert tickets and Comic-Con badges.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't care if we're broke as hell. We'll get that.
And that reminds me, I was manic about Harry in 2017, because he had like three opportunities for me to get tickets, and I didn't get them until the third. And I was like, he only had so many options because he wanted me, Amber Miller, to get a ticket. And thank you, Harry, I did. Like, I was like, I didn't get it this time. He's going to keep on doing it until I get a ticket. And he did.
The fangirl fatigue has been so bad that I forgot that Avatar The Last Airbender was my favorite show until I saw that trailer.
The fangirl fatigue has been so bad that I didn't know I could talk this fast anymore about what I previously liked. Like, I just have been so low. Like, even last night, y'all, I was like, Amanda, I don't even know if we can do this episode. I don't have it in me. I don't. But here it is.
It's the end of the year. It's our second to last episode of the year. And I think that
this is Fangirl Central, where we get fangirl fatigue.
Yeah, we're being real about how we're actually feeling. And so we are recording this in November, taking the entire month of December off of recording to rest and relax and restore. And we'll be back better than ever in the new year.
It'll be so
actually
fun.
But you know, we have one last episode after this.
Yeah. So. And that'll be a fun one.
And it'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
Follow us everywhere at fangirl.central on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Follow our Patreon, patreon.com/fangirlcentral, where we're going to be giving you guys a lot more content, extra content, bonus podcast episodes. Please consider donating. Even just $5 a month helps us a lot. We also have an exclusive Discord if you want to hop on there and scream with us. And yeah, who knows what we'll have. We just finished a rewatch of every single Barbie animated movie, so through 2008. So if that's a hint for what's to come, then
just keep your eye out. If you like Barbie,
keep an eye out. And as always,
keep it chaotic. Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.